Christmas time's coming.
Christmas is just about here. It's been an interesting year.
Been a wild year, for sure. And 2021 could be equally or close to as wild, but hopefully we'll be a little more prepared for it then. As far as in the garden, what's going on, some of my stuff has made a little bit of a comeback. Cabbage, broccoli. I was pretty disappointed, pretty down and out about it, but I think things are going to turn around. It's crazy down here. You know, we'll be 30 degrees one day and then shorts and t-shirt the next day.
Everything's a little slow in the garden right now. Even the stuff we got growing out there that's small is just kind of holding its own, not doing a lot of growing, just sitting there. But it's that time of the year for us to reflect back and think about what we did good, what we did wrong, what we're going to do. You know, a lot of people get a little cabin fever this time of year, and I got a little something I want to show everybody that I grew this last year to maybe give you a little thought of maybe
an idea.
Ideas of maybe what you want to do this out of the ordinary for this coming year. I don't know if you all that watched the show a lot, but I had a moment on one of the shows back during the summertime where I said, you know what, I'm going to grow me some of these Buell gourds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that next day I got some planted and really turned out nice. Now I cut the top out of this one the other day, and these Buell gourds, and I'm assuming that's the way you pronounce that, it's B-U-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
These things are really weird. Some of them you'll have warts on them like this one, and then some of them will be more smooth, and then they'll have a few warts, some of them pretty smooth.
And it's open pollinated variety, so yeah, you would expect to see a little bit of variety,
but it's just they have a lot of character to them. I cleaned these up a little bit. You have to wash them in some bleach to get some of the mildew off of them. These cleaned up real nice. I cut the tops off some. Carrie, our lady and officer, painted that one right there.
That's pretty.
Here's another one here. But these are wonderful to grow, especially if you got somebody crafty in the household.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good wintertime project to have. You can paint them. I guess you can make flower bowls out of them. I guess you could even eat your cereal out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a lot of different things.
Once they dry out, you kind of clean them out.
Clean them out a little bit.
That's a solid bowl, isn't it?
They are known for their real thick rind. So it is a bowl variety gourd.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I'd want to grow every year. It's just like my birdhouse gourds. I grew birdhouse gourds about every 3 years. But it's always interesting. And gourds is one of those things you can grow later in the season. They're really disease and insect resistant, and they do well in adverse conditions. So I planted these and grew them pretty much as a fall crop.
Mm-hmm.
They did well.
I'd like to have me a few of these keep in my camper. You out there on the campground, you want to look sure enough like
you
a mountain man.
Mountain man, yeah.
Eating out of a gourd.
Here's another one here. Anyhow, I had a few of these that I cleaned up and want to show everybody on the show today.
Kind of shaped like an apple almost, a little bit, aren't they?
Yeah. They are, and some of them's a little different. They pretty much round. They all, I guess if they grow on the bottom there, then they have a good bottom for to sit up straight, if that's the way they sit up in the field.
Now, you planted these in the field, but then they run up on your fence line beside the plot.
Yeah, now, one thing if you don't have a lot of room, you can trellis these babies. They do really good on a trellis.
You would recommend trellis?
I would recommend trellising if possible.
As opposed to
they do well on the trellis.
And they have a decent sized fruit there, but they seem to hang pretty good on that livestock fence, what you had basically right there.
Yeah, I had a cow panel. They seem to dry out a little better. Every now and then you'll have a wireworm or something to get into one, but you don't have that problem if it's on a trellis. They just be a little cleaner on the trellis. So if you can, if not, don't worry about it. Grow them on the ground. Grow them however
you
can.
So you let them turn brown on the vine?
As much as I could. Then I had to harvest them because they was getting in the way of our new building back there, and some of our help was helping herself to my gourds.
Uh-oh.
So I had to get them out. You can harvest them once they get nice, hard. They may still have a little green to them. And put them in the barn and let them finish drying out.
Now, once they dry, does this snap pretty good? You still take pruners and cut them?
Yeah, take your pruners and clip. If you'll notice, all those are nice, clean cuts right there. So, yeah, take your pruners and cut them off there.
And cut them off. Give yourself plenty of stem. They say it makes them store a little better there.
It does.
I like that right there. That is
You can have that one. How about that?
I will. I get my carving knife, sit out there by the fire.
Yeah.
My next camping trip and
yeah,
whittle this one a little bit and have me a nice little
bowl.
Little bowl there. I might even.
There you go right there. As everybody.
Write my name on it.
125 days of maturity. Don't get no big hurry on them. But it's a good one to plant after you, some of your spring crops come in and you got that extra space out there that you don't know what to put there. Grow you a few gourds.
You know what even you could do is take you a little cabinet up puller thing and make you a little handle on there and have you a little.
You're getting crafty on me.
just coming up with all kind of ideas. Like those. That's one of those things, like you said, once spring is done and there ain't a whole lot of prime vegetables to be growing in the heat of the summer, plant you some of these.
What really worked well is if you're growing cucumbers or something like that on a trellis, and then you could come right behind them with these gourds and just leave the trellis up and plant on those.
Or pole beans.
Or pole beans would be better. That'd be a different species. Yeah, that'd be even better.
I wonder if some old field corn stalks would hold them up.
Probably.
So you could say if you grew you some field corn in the spring, just go and put some transplants in there.
Yep.
Let them climb upon that. That might work pretty good.
Yep.
Man, I got some. I always say this as far as cool season cover crops go. To me, clover is one of the prettiest ones. And that frosty clover I got to show this on a video coming up soon. Man, it is just beautiful. I just want to get out there and kind of just waller in it.
I love growing clover.
It's just thick and looks so pretty. I got my mustard incorporated this past week. We did a video on that. And I've been doing some videos here and there about I got one plot where we're doing no-till and then other plots where we till stuff in. We tilled in that mustard because that's what you have to do for the suppression. And a lot of the no-till army comes after you when you whoop out the tiller. Mm. And I've yet to figure out, I guess I'm not a part of the club, so I don't understand all the rules. But the rules of the no-till club seem to be a little bit confusing for me. So let's say, for example, I tilled in that mustard cover crop. Now, with the tiller, that Grillo, I don't set it very deep. It's probably only about 3 inches, so it's not cultivating very deep. And man, they just, they flip out about that. They see that piece of equipment there, and they just get all upset, all the panties in the wad and everything. But then you mentioned something like digging sweet potatoes or digging leeks, and I feel like digging sweet potatoes or digging Irish potatoes or digging leeks is way more intensive as far as digging and disturbing the soil than me running that tiller over there 3 inches. So I'm really confused and I'm trying to learn the rules of the no-till club. I haven't quite learned them yet, but it's confusing to me what is okay and what is not okay.
Well, the tiller will pulverize the soil a good bit more than what a digging fork will.
Right.
So you have a little bit.
But if your goal is no disturbance, when I'm digging leaks, I'm putting that fork in there 7-8 inches.
Better word would be minimal disturbance would be
a
better way to look at it. Another thing too is a lot of people, these soils have problems with hard pans. So if you till a lot shallow cultivation and you do a lot of it and you overuse your tiller, then you can create some of those hard pans. So there is some problems with that. The whole deal is to not do it no more than you need to.
Right. I try to
use it to your advantage.
No more than a couple times a year in each plot do it. But like I said, I'm working on figuring out the rules. Once I figure out all the rules, I'll let you know. And maybe they'll let me in the club with my one plot there that I'm doing, but we'll just have to see.
Right.
They still lash at me pretty good when I crank up the tiller and go to chop something in. So we'll just have to see on that. Last week, we talked about some great gift ideas that we've got. And I'd be doggone if some of them didn't just absolutely disappear. Those hods.
They're gone.
Those picking buckets, those over-the-shoulder picking buckets, they're gone. It's what happens. It happens.
We told y'all.
Told y'all. Yeah, we'll have more soon. So if you want to, if that's what something you really wanted to get somebody, what you can do is you can just go on the website, get them a gift certificate, and then they can purchase one.
Oh, yeah, we'll have January 1st. We'll probably have plenty more in somewhere in that neighborhood there. So we'll be okay, but we won't have them in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
They go on.
So unfortunately, that's only two I can think of that we mentioned on the show that just flew. Today, before we get into our main topic here, got us a nice little stocking here that Miss Kendall put together for us. And I want to talk about some good stocking stuffer ideas. And let's see what we got in here. Number one here, and these are all things, obviously, as you see, that fit in a stocking. They're not going to break the bank, but great little ideas that if you got a gardener in your life, things they're going to guarantee to love. This one right here, these things, used to be able to find these things at your local hardware store pretty easy, but you can't find them as much anymore, and it's a corn silken brush. And I made videos on these, and people say, why can't you just use a toilet brush or any kind of brush? You got to have some soft bristles on here. You can't be going at no fresh ear sweet corn with some hard bristles, because you're going to some booger it up.
And I tell you something else about this one right here. This is an ideal way to find out what kind of woman you have in your life. So you buy one of these corn silken brushes and put in her stocking and watch her reaction when she pulls it down Christmas morning, starts digging through there. And when she pulls this corn silken brush out and her eyes light up and she's happy as she can be.
You know you made the right choice.
You know you got you a good woman. If she's soiled up and that lip's poked out, may have to evaluate a trade in.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
This is probably the best way. A good, useful tool, but a good way to evaluate your spouse in your life right there.
Good little test right there.
Test right there.
Yep.
Yep.
Let's see what else we got here. Garden labels. Everybody can use these. Anybody that grows a garden will use them for transplants.
We use a lot of them.
Use them in your raised beds and mark. And these markers here that would come with them, we used to sell them markers separate. Now we just put a marker in there with them. We've got these in 12 packs and 100 packs. But this marker right here works way better than a Sharpie. You write on these with a Sharpie, as soon as water gets on, it's going to wash it off. These markers here are specifically designed for outdoor use and writing on these. And I like these wooden ones because they biodegrade. I can just leave them out there and ain't going to hurt anything. Our garden planner. This is a popular little tool here. And
we're out of those.
We are? Uh-oh. Didn't know that. Anyway, I'll show it to somebody. When they do come back in, nice little slide chart there. You just pick your, line it up with your first to last frost date. You got spring on one side, fall on the other. Handy tool, unfortunately.
Another reason to buy that gift certificate.
Yeah, you can add a garden planner to do
that. We got them on order, should have them before long.
One of them things. What else we got here? This unit right here. I use this baby all the time, especially making sauerkraut and stuff. Even in that big crock I got, that big 5-gallon clay crock, fermenting crock I got, I use this baby right here, kind of mash my cabbage up. Nice little tool. You got your regular size jar in, your wide mouth jar in. If you're making pickles, any kind of stuff, that's a good way to pack stuff in the jars without ruining it too much.
And it's nice hardwood, so leave it by your door there when you're not using it to pack your jars. If you need to get on somebody's head, that's a good place to leave it right there. You pick it up right there and you can whoop on somebody right there with that.
You hit somebody with that right there.
Yeah. A couple times there and you won't have no more trouble. No more lip out of it.
See what else we got here. This is everybody needs them, one of these, whether you use it to wipe your nose or keep sweat out your eyes. Nice little Hoss bandana there. We got a pepper one and we got an okra one, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep, you wear it John Wayne style around your neck there, keep your neck warm when it's cool. And if you have to use it for a mask, just pull it straight up there and use it for a mask if you get in a pinch.
That's about the most stylish mask you could want right there. And it comes in this nice little cloth bag that you can use for lots of other stuff. What else we got here? Ain't a lot of stuff fit in this stocking right here. Oh, these things right here. My wife absolutely loves these things. And we have them in regular mouth and wide mouth. But these screw on top of your mason jars and you got the little flip lid there. You can pour it. We use these to, we keep dry stuff in mason jars with them. We put our coffee in there when we go camping, use these tops. But we also put wet stuff in there. Makes it real easy to pour out of a mason jar. And like I said, we just use these all the time. When you order them, you get one of each color, regular mouth, wide mouth. They're called multi-top jar lids, and just something really, really handy to have. So you can pour out of a mason jar, you can leave this on there.
Works like a charm. You're not storing your food in your mason jar and you empty it out, and gives you a reason to use those mason jars in other times of the year. Mm-hmm. You don't have it full of vegetables.
Yeah. What else we got? Got one more thing in here, I think. Koozies. It's a good little stocking stuffer if you've got a horse fan in your life. Good little neoprene thing there. Works good in the summertime, keep your drink cold. In the wintertime, keep your hand from getting mm-hmm. cold. So, awesome little stocking stuffer. I think that's it. Stocking stuffers there. You can fit a lot in a stocking.
Yes, you can.
A lot of good, good gear in a stocking there. Y'all go on the website and check those out. We got all those in stock except the garden planner.
Well, you can substitute the garden planner with a gift certificate. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Take care of that. All right, what else? We got some new varieties I want to talk about. Now, a lot of these, in fact, all of them, maybe except one, are varieties that our wonderful customers and viewers suggested that we carry. Most of these are tomatoes, with the exception of one. And some of them are heirlooms, and we like to have a good rounded selection of everything, hybrids and heirlooms. So these are varieties that our customers told us you need to have these. We love them. We would order them from y'all if y'all had them. So was kind of diligent in making sure I added some of these. Let me go through a few of these. I think this is the only one that's not an heirloom. This one here is called Container's Choice Red Tomatoes. So for those of you who are limited on space, got a patio garden or maybe a raised bed and you don't want to stake up a whole row of tomatoes, you just want to grow one or two plants and kind of tie it to a stob, this is the way to go right here. So this is a kind of a dwarf, a determinate tomato, and the plant's not going to get that tall, but it's going to load up with fruits, and not going to require a huge elaborate trellis for these, but a really good tasting tomato. And great for pots, raised beds. You could grow them in an in-ground garden as well.
Yeah, we had some other day mention again about, you know, some of these determinate tomatoes, if they just come off at one time, if they've never grown determinate tomatoes. The book says they come off at one time, but actually they don't. They have kind of like three different little mini crops to them. They have a bottom crop, which comes in first, your middle crop and your top crop. Oh man, they'll last you somewhere between 2 to 3 weeks when they start coming.
Yeah,
in. Maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah, I'd say my harvesting window is close to 4 weeks with about three. Picking them once a week, going in there and picking anything that's turning.
Yeah. If you grow in a container, you definitely want a determinate tomato.
Yeah, and this one right here is a dwarf determinate, which is going to be even more ideal for your smaller scalers out there. And that would be a good one if you were... If you had never grown determinates and you wanted to dabble in the determinant, you could just grow you a couple in a pot and you could see how you likes them.
Yep, likes them.
All right, a few more.
That's one word, likes them.
Yeah, a few more tomatoes here. And these are ones our customers suggested. This one here, green zebra tomato. A lot of people, really big fans of this one.
Now, is it ripe? Is it green? Is it ripe?
Yeah. So it's got a nice little tangy flavor to it. It's not big as a slicer. It's probably... about like the size of a racquetball. So it's not a huge tomato, but it's bigger than a cherry tomato. We have it in the cherry tomato classification on the website, but it's bigger than a normal cherry tomato. I think it comes in about the size, maybe a little bigger than that black cherry. You remember growing those?
Yeah.
Those were about golf ball size, maybe a hair a bit bigger than those. These are really good to kind of just quarter up, put on a salad.
Salsa,
you can just eat them raw. Yeah, you could make good green salsa out of them. And these are ripe once that yellow, you see that yellow one right there appears? So you're not waiting on them to turn a particular color. They'll be real green at first, and once they get the kind of that yellow shading, they're ready to pick.
Hmm.
That's indeterminate.
I thought it was.
This one here is a big popular heirloom out there that a lot of people rave about. And I might try growing one or two plants of them. The German Johnson tomato is a real popular, big, nice, meaty heirloom tomato. A lot of people rave about this one. So we're going to give that one a shot this year. This one here is another popular one. You see a lot of the people are big fans of heirloom tomatoes. They rave about this one, this Kellogg's Breakfast Tomato.
Hmm.
It got the name, the guy who kind of started really growing it. His last name was Kellogg, and they call it breakfast tomato because the juice inside looks like an orange, really bright orange, really big, kind of meaty heirloom tomato. Not as acidic. Anytime you got a yellow or orange tomato, not quite as acidic as the red ones. So it might be a good option to eat for breakfast. And then this one, I'm interested in trying because I've heard a lot of people rave about it. And this one, although it is heirloom, it is supposed to be resistant to early blight. And that's the Abe Lincoln here. Hmm. A lot of people swear by this one as an indeterminate that they like to grow. And supposedly it produces them tomatoes in nice big clusters there. So I want to try one or two of those, see what all the fuss is about. But that's one a lot of people ask for. The last one here is not a tomato, but this is a flower a lot of people have been asking about, which is nasturtium. Now, nasturtium has quite a few benefits. You can eat the flowers. The flowers are edible. A lot of people use them in salads as a garnish, have a good little peppery flavor to them. Also really good for pollinators, attracting beneficial insects. Hummingbirds will get on these things. This particular variety here, this Tip Top mix, the reason it's called Tip Top is because all the flowers kind of grow on top of the plant there. This is more of a dwarf variety. It's not going to get very tall. You can plant them real thick and good for just have interplanting in the garden, having for your pollinators, your beneficials, but you can also eat those flowers and have a nice little tasty addition to
your
salad.
I'm assuming that is a summer flower.
Yes, warm season. Warm season. You want to wait till your last frost date there in spring for your plant.
You would just direct seed these, right?
The seeds that you can fill in there. The seeds are pretty big.
Yeah.
So you can just direct. You could transplant them, but I would just direct seed them. That's a good one. A lot of people like to grow those with kids because they're really easy to grow, really easy to direct seed. Unlike other flower seeds that are tiny, they're just really easy to plant.
That'd be great for a school garden.
Would be excellent for a school garden. To kind of teach the benefits of having flowers and pollinators.
And how easy they are to grow.
That's right. All right. So every now and then we get somebody who comments on the videos and gives us an awesome idea for a show topic. And I thought this was a great one. And I don't remember, they only mentioned like three or four crops, but I kind of elaborated out to 10. But the general idea here was if you could only pick one. So let's imagine you had a small garden, 20 by 20, 40 by 40. That's all you had. And you wanted to plant a decent variety of things in there, but you know, that's all the space you got. So you got to pick one variety of each crop. And so we got 10 different crops here we're going to go through. And we're going to tell you, if you only pick one, which variety we would choose to grow.
It's a great subject for me because this year, I'm experimenting with growing a smaller garden, doing more compact.
Intensive
gardening, because a lot of people we have out there don't have a huge area or don't need, and that's what I've come to realize, don't need a huge garden. So I'm bringing the garden in this year to something like a 20 by, I think it may be like 40, 20 by 40. And then we're going to do some walkways in there. We're going to do some smaller plants. So this is a good exercise for me to go through to find out what I need to plant and what not.
I'll put all my choices in my bowl gourd there. All right, so we got 10 different crops here. Let's go through here. And we have not discussed these beforehand, so we may have some of the same ones. Let's start off with tomato. You want to go first?
Yeah, tomatoes. I cheated on that one just a little bit. So my first choice on my regular tomato, of course, if you watch much of the shows, you'll know I'm a big fan of the Bella Rosa. The Bella Rosa to me would be my go-to tomato on my sandwich tomatoes. However, I would have to plant me one or two, and we don't have them packed yet, but I would have to plant one or two of the Mountain Vineyard, which is a cherry tomato.
We're waiting on the packs on those. We should have those. They're on the way. We should have those packed in the next week or so.
So for my sandwich tomatoes, it'd be the Bella Rosa, and I'd have to have a couple, whether I did it in containers or I did it on the side of my garden, and I wouldn't need more than a couple of plants, but I'd have to have me some of those Mountain Vineyards.
Yeah, Good idea. I went with, the Bella Rose was a great choice, but I went with this one, which I grew last year and really liked. And the productivity was right up there with the Bella Rose, and that is the Summer Pick Tomato. Really good disease resistance on this, good flavor, good production, and just really like this one. The Red Snapper would be right up there with this one, but we don't have that one on the site. So I went with the Summer Pick Tomato, a great winner in my opinion.
And both of those are determinate tomatoes.
Yes, they are.
On the peppers, then I picked the Mamma Mia, what's that word right there?
It's Italian, Giallo.
I went with the Mamma Mia Giallo pepper, and the reason I did is because the majority of the way I really enjoy eating my peppers is grilling them, stuffing them, and this one is a great one right here. And you can also stir fry with it. I'm not a huge bell pepper fan. If I was, I would have picked one of those. I don't care a lot for peppers in my salads. Mm-hmm. I love to grill them and to stuff them, and that's the reason I went with this baby right here, and it's pretty. It's a nice pepper.
Yeah, I love bell peppers, and I always grow a few, but I didn't pick a bell pepper variety. I picked the variety that I've grown and just got the most pepper production and a good, well-rounded pepper that you can do a lot of things with. So I picked a Cubanelle, and this Aruba Cubanelle we've got here, it just loads up, and they're big enough to stuff. They're good to eat raw. They got a nice little flavor to them, hardly any heat. And this was a hard choice because there was a lot of good bell pepper options. Yep. There are a lot of good options, but if I could only grow one, I would grow this Aruba Cubanelle.
On the cucumbers, I went with a pickle because I enjoy grow. I grow some slicers, but if I had to choose, and I'm having to choose here between a pickle and a slicer, I always go with a pickle because it's dual purpose for me. We can slice them and pick up pickles, but we can also eat them fresh and slice them up, and that's the reason that a pickle to me is a little more versatile. And I went to Calypso. Calypso is a variety that we've been growing for a couple of years now, and it's one of those that loads up with those female flowers and is really productive.
If it was just me, I probably would have picked a pickling variety as well. My wife really likes the slicers, so I went with a slicer variety. And while we have lots of great options, Stonewall, Diomede, my favorite at this moment, now I am liable to change my mind at any point in time, but my favorite one currently is the Olympian. It's gynoecious, it's got an awesome disease package as the Diomede and Stonewall do, but the uniformity on the size of these and kind of the percentage of perfect shaped cucumbers you get is very high. And so the Olympian is currently number one on my list as far as cucumbers go.
Squash, and squash was tough for me because I didn't know if we was going with winter squash or summer squash.
Oh, summer squash. Yeah, I figured in this situation, you probably wouldn't have room to grow winter squash.
So I picked the Gentry squash, and the reason I did is because I'm old school a little bit, and I do like a crookneck. So I got me a crookneck here. Gentry is a hybrid variety that is 45 days maturity, and this is probably one of the easiest squashes to grow. It has a little bit of disease package on it, helps you there. It's nice, smooth skin. Gentry is all around great squash, and it being a crookneck made my decision easy.
All right. I went with a crookneck as well, but I went with Mr. Gold Star here because I grew this one last year and just super, super impressed with it. I like a straight neck, but these crooknecks are neat to grow. You got to be a little more careful harvesting them. So I went with the Gold Star. A close second would have been the Slick Pick. I almost grabbed that one just because it produces so much. But we're going with the Gold Star today.
All right, the next one, and this is going to be interesting right here. Silver Queen on the corn for me.
I wrote corn, but we meant sweet corn.
Yeah, I went sweet corn there, and I went back and forth a little bit, and I ended up getting this one. This one I know performs well for me. I know I like it. It's easy to silk. It's an old open pollinated variety.
That's a hybrid, actually.
Oh, Silver Queen's a hybrid?
Yeah.
Wow.
The OP would be something like Stoll's Evergreen would be considered an heirloom.
What about corn. Silver King?
It's a SE hybrid.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went with Silver Queen. I've probably grown more Silver Queen than I have any other variety in my life. I know you didn't go with Silver Queen. That's the reason I wanted to pick it up.
Yeah, I went with
this sugar wings.
Well, this is something that if you ask me, middle of next summer, I might have changed my mind. There's too many good ones out there, and so I'm just there's a little bit of recency bias here, and I'm growing with the one that I grew the latest that I really, really liked, and that was this Temptress here, and this is one I grew as a second succession planting, and I was super impressed at how well it went on into summer, into the heat, and the production of it, and we put some up, and man, it froze well, just a really, really good corn variety. So the Temptress, which is a quad sweet, I believe.
It's one of those sweet, sweet.
Yeah, quad. Anyway, that's my favorite at the moment.
Greens, the greens category.
You skip taters.
I skip taters. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and do this, and we'll come back on taters.
Okay.
About that. On the greens, when I picked the Savannah mustard, which is a mustard I just been introduced to a couple years ago, and this one's a little different, and I grow it a little different. It's really productive, does well as stir fry. We like to stir fry our mustards down, cook them down.
Fast.
But you know, this is one of these that goes against the grain the way we're used to growing our old broadleaf mustard. So you go out there and you just strow your, and I got some growing out there now, you strow, and that's the word for broadcast, your broadleaf mustard out there and you let it come up and grow. These right here lend themselves well to planting and transplanting.
You can.
Yeah, they do well, especially if you got a small area. We got a raised bed out in the house, and we've got some of these in that she transplanted in, and they have done extremely well. About 12-inch spacing on there. It's a very good mustard.
I like to make me a little kind of elevated bed and just pour the seeds on there, and then I can just go through and cut them like a lawnmower almost. That's how I like to
grow. Yeah, you can, but these right here do well as a tree. I was amazed at
how big you want to let them get.
Yeah, how small of an area that produces a lot for two people.
Fastest growing mustard is that I've ever seen.
20 days to maturity.
I went with a different kind of green. I went with a collard green and my old Top Bunch 2.0. Now, for those of you who like different types of collards, we have been adding several different varieties. We got a Vates collard on the site now, a Flash collard. Got several other varieties coming. But my favorite currently is the Top Bunch 2.0. And something, even down here, we can grow 9 months out of the year. Can't go wrong with that. Good thing to have in your garden.
All right, switch back to Irish potatoes, and we don't have those in, but we're going to talk about them anyway. Only could plant one, it would have to be the Yukon Gold for Greg.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with that. There's lots of good choices out there, but as far as productivity and taste and storage ability, to me, that one there kind of has it all. And
as we say, it's got the butter already built in. Nice yellow flesh inside. It's just a good looking potato.
Yep. All right. Now to, you know, mess me up skipping around. Now to onions.
Onions. I went with Sweet Harvest onion. The reason I did is because I like a flatter onion. And I've grown these this year, and Sweet Harvest onion works well for me. If it doesn't matter, you want a globe type onion, it's easy to move over to one of the others. But I'm just kind of old school again, and I like those flat onions.
I picked a flat onion as well. Mine, a little bit of recency bias here as well, because these were the ones I planted the earliest. And man, they're looking good in my garden, and that's these plethora onions. And this is one of those varieties you really ain't going to find anywhere else. And I got these planted late October. I'm going to move my onion planting up. I think.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I've experimented some this year with staging them out at 2-week intervals. And I can go back and see my first ones that I planted are doing so much better than the ones I planted later.
They took the frost better. They did everything. So we always said November, but I believe late October is when I'm going to aim up.
The tails deceive. I'm seeing a little bit of blight on some of mine. I noticed yesterday, and I've got to see about that. It's the first time I've seen blight this early in the year. It's got me a tad bit concerned.
I haven't seen any of that. Yep. I burnt mine a couple times, come in there pretty hot with some fertilizer. But the plethora is, I'm super, super impressed. We'll see how big of an onion we get, but as far as just looking at the plants, looks like it's going to be a good one.
On the lettuce, I picked the romaine because I love romaine lettuce, and it has more of an upright growth habit to me. Some of these other lettuces we have a tendency to get some crown rot. These coastal romaines, being a romaine, grows more up. So if it does turn off wet and cool, there's not as apt to have a problem with the crown rot. Plus, I simply just love romaine lettuce.
Yeah, romaine's good. I went with more of a, what I kind of consider a spring crisp style lettuce, something that doesn't form a real compact head, but one that holds really well and been my favorite the last couple of years is Tehama lettuce. Just lots of different uses for it, and nice heat tolerance we get from it. If we plant it earlier in the fall, good pelleted seeds, easy to put in the ground. We transplant this, but that's my favorite right now. It's a Tehama.
This was okra, and I'm going to throw a curveball at you here. So okra, I picked the Jing Orange Okra, and the reason I did is because this is a new variety I've never grown before, and I do like to try something new because you never know if you're going to like it or not till you try it. Now, I don't expect this to be as productive as the jambalaya. Hands down, jambalaya is going to kick tail on that. But it's unique, something different, and that's the reason I would pick this one to grow this year is my one and only okra. It does come highly recommended.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to grow any more okra.
You do grow okra?
Now, all I'm growing is okra.
Okra.
So, no more okra, I'm just growing okra.
Well, I'm going to grow okra this year. I may switch over after that.
So, for okra, my favorite okra, as y'all probably know, is the jambalaya okra. And I've got lots of videos on this. We've done trials and trials and trials of it. And it just outperforms the others. Every now and then we'll get somebody that comments they tried it and they liked another variety better. But
I've not heard that.
I've seen that on occasion, and I'm not sure because I have done the trial. It wasn't like I just did it one year. We've done it over and over and over, and it just the results are always the same. It's pretty predictable. So as far as okra goes, to me, you can't beat that one. The only downside to it is it's going to start producing about a foot tall, so you're going to have to bend over to cut it initially. And this is the only complaint we get about it. People that don't like to pick the okra, but about every 3 or 4 days, it's going to get tough once it gets about 5-6 inches long. So
yep.
It needs to be picked about 3-4 inches long. It needs to be picked every other day. Some cases, you get enough rain, you can pick it every day. But you can't beat it for productivity.
So there you have something.
And compact, I'll say one more thing about the jambalaya okra. People ask, they say the okra plants get too tall on them. This one will stay shorter longer.
Than any of them.
Than any of them. It's a more compact plant. Even when I stripped the side branches off of it, it was not even 3/4 as tall as all them other varieties. I had to cut all them down before I cut these down because I ain't getting on a ladder to cut okra.
As my buddies say that I say a lot, that jambalaya's the cat's meow.
Cat's meow. My bowl's empty. That means that was it. So good little fun thing to do there if you could only pick just one. And for those of you watching out there, you don't have to give us all 10, but if you'd like to, we'd love to hear about it. Let us know. And it doesn't have to be all varieties we carry, but let us know what your 10 would be of those crops we mentioned. And maybe that would give us some good ideas at other varieties to add in the future if you've got some in there that we don't carry.
Yeah, and it being Christmas season, we're in the Christmas spirit a little bit, and we're going to do something a little different this year. I say this year, this show, and we're going to do a couple giveaways.
Yeah, so we usually answer questions about this time, but we're not going to answer questions this week. Given it being the Christmas season, I wanted to grant a couple Christmas wishes here, and I picked one, and you picked one. So we have a lady, and I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce her last name, but Miss Carol Avant, as that may be said wrong, but that's the way I'm going to pronounce it right now. Miss Carol Avant, she's been a longtime viewer of our shows. I won't say she watches every video, but she comments on just about every one. And great gardener. She posts a lot of pictures of her garden in our Row by Row group. She's been milking her backyard for as much as it's worth, just growing as much food as she can in there. And she's been waiting a couple of years to move to a new property where she's got more land, and she can sure enough grow a big garden. And last I heard from her on one of the comments, she's getting ready to make that move. She already uses our drip tape layer and buries the drip tape, but she's only got one wheel hose, so she has to swap it back and forth. And so, Ms. Carol, we're going to send you a new double wheel hoe for Christmas.
Yep.
And that way you can have a dedicated wheel hoe just for that drip tape layer and laying your drip tape. And that's going to save you a lot of time when you move to that new spot. So I imagine she's watching the show. If not, if y'all know Ms. Carol, let her know. We already have her address, so we can send it right to her. But hopefully she's watching, and hopefully she and everybody else out there has a Merry Christmas.
Sweet lady. She's always an inspiration to all of us, the way she loves to grow.
Never hesitates to help spread the word.
Yep. So my pick would be for Mr. Tom Matthews. Mr. Tom's been a supporter of our channel and our business for a long time. And Mr. Tom, back during the springtime, was doing some transplanting, and he had to whittle him out a stick to make him a dibble. And he posted that on the Row by Row group, showing his dibble, his whittled out stick. So what we thought was we'd send him a nice single dibble wheel to attach to his wheel hoe, because he does have a wheel hoe, mm-hmm. to attach it to it so he can run through there and not have to be whittling out sticks anymore.
That'd save him a lot of time. He likes to wait on his onions, so he'll be putting in his onions soon, and that dibble wheel works like a charm for putting in onions.
He's an Alabama boy over there in Leeds, Alabama,
uh-huh.
and a great guy, loves to cook. We see a lot of pictures of what he likes to cook, and he's like us. He likes to eat, too.
And we have his address as well. I know he'll be watching, so we'll get that on the way from him. Hopefully, we can get that there before Christmas. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be able to. So, Tom and Carol, thank y'all for watching over the years and being a great supporter, and we hope you enjoy this little token of our appreciation for you guys sticking with us all those years.
Yep.
All right, so next week, next Thursday is Christmas Eve, and probably going to take a break off next week.
Yep.
So everybody can enjoy time with their friends and family around the holiday season. Everybody stay safe, but enjoy. Everybody have a good Merry Christmas there. So we won't be here next week, and we'll try to catch back up with y'all. The next Thursday would be New Year's Eve. We'll just have to see on that. Stay tuned on our Row by Row group. We'll make an announcement for that. But we'll just have to see then. But definitely no show next week on Christmas Eve. And we just appreciate, it's been a crazy, wild year here. And just want to say we appreciate all of our customers, all of our viewers, and couldn't do it without you guys.
Absolutely. And from our family to yours, we wish you all a happy and Merry Christmas.
And hope you enjoyed the show. And as always, give us a big thumbs up if you did. Hit that subscribe button. Ring the bell. Ring that
jingle, jingle.
Ring that bell so you get notified every time we come out with a new video. We'll see you guys next time.
Take care.